it to our friends in this. And you don't need to look that far to see. Hello, everyone. This is your always tactful host, Pendy.
And this is Paul, also known as EastX Twitch.
Oh, damn it. I don't know if I can go on here. Dai is struggling against insurmountable odds. We've got the end of service for Tact. Should we keep going?
But thou must.
I guess. Only one more month for Tact. Should we keep the guild going, too? I think we just had our last guild tournament.
But thou must.
I could keep doing real-time arena to get those gems and awards, but what's the point?
But thou must.
We also still have over 40 episodes to review for Dai. I don't know if I have the motivation.
But thou must.
But East X, I don't think I want to.
But thou must.
Oh no, I'm caught in one of those forced dialogue trees. Yes, East X, yes. We will continue our journey intact and review more Dai episodes.
Oh, thank the goddess. I couldn't say anything else until you agreed. Now that I'm free, I'll go ahead and welcome our audience to Tactfully Dai, a lifetime podcast spinoff that covers just about everything in the world of Dragon Quest, the Adventure of Dai, and the Dragon Quest Tact mobile game.
That's right. We'll talk about the latest and greatest with Dragon Quest Tact first.
Good. We must talk some Tact.
But not for long. As we know it, this will most likely be our last Tactfully Dai episode. We will continue our Dai episode reviews under a new name called To Be Determined. We're actually going to come up with several names, and we'll have a poll that we'll have at many of our Slime Time sites and related Dragon Quest media sites to see what you guys think. And we'll go with the winner. So yay. Not only will we continue to review the Dai episodes and movies, we'll take on other Dragon Quest media such as The Legend of the Hero Abel, Dragon Quest Monsters Plus, The Emblem of Roto Movie, and more.
Coolness. The next time we get together to talk some Tact will be in a future Slime Time Prime episode, in which we will have multiple guests join us to reflect on their and our time with the game.
I've enjoyed our time with this show format, and I hope all of you have enjoyed it as well.
Yeah, I guess it was all right. Before we get too mushy on yous, though, let's talk about our Aces 1 guild going out on top.
We ended the month of January in third place with stamina usage, and we're currently in second place for February. Not too shabby.
We also had a semi-decent showing in the last guild tournament.
We got paired up against Suba, and unfortunately lost that one.
Suba has been difficult for us at full strength over the years, but they were down to 14 people, and we were down to 18.
Our coordination on that one could have been a lot better. But funnily enough, after starting in the Platinum League, we were matched against Suba once again.
That's right, twice in one tournament. That never happens. We were much more organized during the second matchup, and we managed to prevail against them.
Yes. However, AW was in our bracket as well. Ugh. They were also shorter on members than us, but chaos ensued in this one.
Yeah, we faced our typical Aces 1 issue of waiting too much to the last minute to do our matches.
Mm-hmm.
We had three legitimate losses that we could have reattempted, but we couldn't do any reattempts until 30 minutes before time was over for the matchup.
Oopsies. We had two people go after the same loss accidentally. During those 30 minutes, we had one person who was rushed and didn't have the setup that they wanted, though they still ended up getting 140 on it. We even had one person who had said previously, hey, I want to take care of the loss that I got, but for some reason they didn't even show up. Though, to be fair, like we said, we only had 30 minutes to do all of that. And to be fair, even if that person had gotten full points on my loss, I'd actually showed up, and the other person with a rush setup had done the full 160, we still would have lost by 20 points.
That's true. Yeah, we still had some coaching for that matchup, but not much. With almost nobody wanting to help with matches, our team was at a big disadvantage against AW, who apparently did have active coaches. That was a bit frustrating, you know, like some of us didn't want to wait until the last minute, but like we're waiting on coaches to finally show up, you know, some coaching that never came. But in truth, our guild had already resolved to take a more casual approach to the game after the cancellation notice, so we can't blame people too much.
No, I mean, we were going about this a lot more casually than before, so especially since we ended up not even being able to do our last matches until 30 minutes before. Can't blame anybody on that whatsoever. So it's all good. We got second place overall. Not a bad showing after losing some of our players and taking on some new ones.
I know you're disappointed about something else when it comes to these guild battles, Mr. Pendy.
I am. This whole time I've been with Aces 1, we were never able to battle our nemesis, Big Dorky Squad.
Those jerks.
You win this time, Big Dipper Squids. We'll get you next time. Except we won't, because the game is over. Damn you, Small Dragon Division. You maniacs. You blew it up. Damn you. Goddess damn you all to Nadiria.
Elegantly said. Let's move on to a different kind of tournament. The real-time arena tournament. I see you've been doing pretty well at it.
Yes, not too bad. At first, I just wanted to get to the legend level one more time. To the surprise of no one, not as many people are playing it. To that end, I noticed my rank was pretty high as I started to rack up the wins to go towards the legend status.
Yeah, it seems like you and our newest member, YA, A Timbo, were neck and neck during your climb to glory.
For a while, we both were in the top 10. That's the highest rewards tier that you can get to. I believe you win like 8,000 gems from doing that. You know, I won't catch up to some of the auto clickers at the top, but I'd love to go out with the top 10 finish, even if it's against a fraction of the people that we used to have playing the game. The highest I've gotten so far is 7th place, and currently, as we speak, I'm sitting at 9th place. I'm going back and forth with a handful of people. One more week to go. We'll see what I can do.
Good luck with that, man. Personally, I'm keeping a relaxed attitude towards all aspects of the game, including real-time arena. I've always found the imbalanced nature of RTA annoying, even though I usually get to legend rank. But with the game going away and no particular need for rewards, I'm probably not going to push past master rank this time.
I don't blame you. And I'm kind of doing this out of fun just because I can, because I've got a decent team going, and I haven't gotten the princess yet, so I want to like get like those last few people that were able to get off the banners. Like if I can get the princess, then maybe I can get the Hyde Jinx. That's one of the other banners, like just to get them, just to say that I got them, just as, you know, a collection type of thing. Pretty so cool. We'll see how that goes. But, you know, in addition to our usual arena battling, we have the Dragon Quest 1 event going on. The rest of the event story has dropped along with the princess banner. I'm putting all my remaining gems and tickets I can into getting her. So far, no luck, but I was lucky enough to pull the hero without too many pulls. What about you?
Well, for once, I guess I'm having slightly better luck overall. On the hero, I did have to get to the pity with him, so I had to do 15 gem pulls. Okay. And that really sucked, you know, that burned through all the gems I piled up. But then on the princess banner, I got her from the second gem pull. Like, wow, you know, for once I did not have to pity.
Nice, that's awesome. You know, this event itself has also been so much fun. I'm gonna miss these little stories of the hijinks of Magellan and Bendini.
Me too. Yeah, they're charming characters. And speaking of shenanigans, the true Dragon Quest One event story pits Mindini with the Dragon Lord versus Magellan and the hero.
Until the Dragon Lord pisses off Mindini and she switches back to our side in the end. Before that, it was fun seeing her whip the Dragon Lord's minions into shape to take on our party of heroes.
Yes, they've always done such a good job with these little retellings of the game's stories, or just like little spin-offs of the game's stories like that.
Oh yeah.
So those will definitely be missed. What are you going to do once you've finished all the objectives in the true Dragon Quest One event?
Well, once I've exhausted all I want to do with the event, I'm just probably going to concentrate on rank up materials. Then near the end, I'm going to level up as many characters as I can and see what final ranking I'll have. I'm currently 61st, and I saw that you're way up at 44th.
Look at you trying to catch up there, Mr. Peppy. Well, yeah, I've just been like hardcore farming the white orbs that you need to rank units up to rank 9. You know, it's a type of resource that we never had to farm before. Like, you would just get them sometimes and it didn't really matter. But farming gold in order to pay for the rank ups and such, but clearing out the battle roads by taking everyone up to 9 and leveling them up fully, that's been a fun way to use my time as the countdown towards doom progresses. Now then, before we get into the die portion of the show, it's time for our final tact tip of the day.
Tip of the day!
Did you know that gacha games are temporary?
That's right, tacticians. You can't take it with you. If you plan to use money, be careful how much you spend.
Time and again, we've seen gacha games close down unexpectedly altogether, or just the global side of the house, like it did with Dragon Quest Tact. Just be aware of that risk going into these types of games.
That's not amazing, but good advice. That was our final Tact tip of the day. Tip of the day, tip of the day, tip of the day. Now let's get into some Die.
Every week, we're going to review 3 episodes from the newest Dragon Quest The Adventure of Die anime.
We'll also get into other related news we find in the world of Die as well.
Let's start by talking about episode 59, The Survivors. In this episode, the heroes deal with the fallout of losing to King Verne's forces. All over the world, King Verne's palace has been dropping enormous stakes into the ground. These stakes explode and leave gigantic craters, wiping out any nearby cities as well. It's terrible. terrible. Mom and Pop wash up on shore, where they're picked up by the surviving forces of good, who've made a forest-based camp. These forces have combined with the survivors of the Kingdom of Carl. Queen Flora of Carl has survived as well. Her heroic attitude helps to lift everyone's spirits after their defeat. Meanwhile, Dai is confronted by the Mother Dragon as she prepares to take him to the afterlife. To her shock, Baran appears. When Baran was killed by the Black Core, he attached his soul to Dai's soul. Baran pleads to go to the afterlife in Dai's place so that Dai can have another chance at aiding the surface world. The Mother Dragon agrees, and Dai is eventually reunited with everyone else. Soon after, King Vern sends an invitation to the remaining human kingdoms to watch the execution of the captured Hyunkle and Crocodine.
It's definitely sad vibes all around, but it's a good episode. We are reminded of how evil King Vern, hey Vern, and his forces are as they start to go around wiping out the surface world. Once again, poor Zabora can't catch a break, as it's shown that Miss Vern has no respect for him. The scene where Kilvern is floating around some cards is also great. It's a fun effect, and I always enjoy his dialogue with the other characters. His prediction of bad fortune is what inspires King Vern to set up the execution and make a trap for any other would-be adversaries. Getting to see Queen Flora's connection to Avon and Mam's father Roka was very entertaining as well. It makes me look forward to eventually checking out the fan translation of the prequel manga.
The episode does a good job of showing the stakes and what will happen to the world if Dai's team doesn't stop Vern. However, we still get a bit of levity when the fake heroes show up.
Oh yeah, that's good.
It's been a while since they last appeared, though I believe they show up more often in the manga. The fake heroes arrive to get blasted by one of Vern's bombs, but it's played in a somewhat humorous way that indicates that they might end up surviving. You can't really tell. Another funny scene is when Pop wakes up on the beach and prepares to fight the bear, called an Ursa Minor. We quickly learn that the Ursa Minor is a kindly member of Chu's Beast Commandos, and that's a relief. I also enjoy the scene between Miss Vern and Zabuera. It's not so much that Zabuera can't catch a break, it's more that Miss Vern feels some loyalty to Hadlar, and therefore looks down on Zabuera for betraying him. I mean, Zabuera sucks. Oh yeah, and it's nice to see another reminder of Leona caring for Dai. She's so relieved to have him back after he gets rescued, and everybody leaves to give him some space. That's cool.
Yeah, that was very sweet. And in the next episode, episode 60, Dai and Pop, we see Crocodine and Hyunkle in the dungeon cursing their fate as they're being held captive there. Miss Vern appears to announce their planned execution and to give Hyunkle a chance to regain his strength and rejoin the army if he drinks of Miss Vern's dark aura concoction. Hyunkle asks for a day to consider the offer, shocking Crocodine. Meanwhile, Dai struggles with the burden of having to face Dark King Vern, hey Vern, and his army again. After overhearing his comrades plan to have him give a speech to the men, Dai zooms away to avoid his friends. Pop guesses where Dai went, and they have a heart-to-heart together. Pop's friendship and strength of character end up inspiring Dai. The young hero returns and gives his own inspirational speech to rouse everyone's spirits. The heroes decide to raid the execution and rescue their friends, knowing it's a trap. To improve their chances, Queen Flora suggests that someone from the party should learn the Kuglimmer spell. This spell could break the palace's magical barrier, but it will take a trip to the Cave of Trials to learn it. Queen Flora recognizes that Leona has the best shot out of everyone of learning the spell, so she gives Leona the insignia of Avon. It turns out that the insignia is actually made out of mysticite and imbued with powerful holy magic that can repel dark energy. Leona agrees to take on this great responsibility.
This episode shows Miss Vern's loyalty once again. This time, he wants to give Hyunkle another chance to join the dark side. Hyunkle was trained by Miss Vern after leaving Avon in his youth, so Miss Vern's attachment makes sense. Hyunkle reveals to Crocodine that he wants to live now, so it seems that he was more touched by Amy the Sage's interest in him than he let on before. I know you sympathize with Dai's crisis of confidence in this episode, Pindy, but I don't care for it as much. There's no way that Dai is going to end up chickening out of the fight, so Dai's behavior here is really wheel spinning. We already know how it's going to go. Still, if the show is going to tread water, at least it does so by showcasing what a heroic person Pop has become. Their conversation is quite good, so I don't hate the sequence overall. Queen Flora is a cool character too, and I enjoyed learning that she and Avon had some kind of implied relationship. The idea that she can assign a fifth disciple of Avon is interesting, though I'm sure it could be debated. Does she really have the right? But giving Leona a more active role in the story, certainly a good thing.
Yeah, this episode has some really good character moments in it. You know, poor Dai is killed, brought back to life, and then immediately thrown back into the war with the Dark Army. I know he may be the hero, and he does have the power of a Dragon Knight, but the poor kid is only 12 years old. I don't blame him for freaking out a bit. And Pop, as you mentioned, is an absolute all-star here, inspiring Ma'am and Dai. His character has come such a long way since the beginning. I also like how the show depicts when Pop arrives to find Dai at his very lowest, and then they simply use the sound of the waves of Tehran where they're at to overlap the initial commercial break insert instead of the usual music that goes on there until they come back. On a lighter note, I really love the Beast King commandos here that Chu commands. As Chu points out, he now has 10 monsters under his command. He's got a droll drone, sea slime, spiked hair, ant nibbler, Draki, Ursa Minor, Pterodactyl, Rumblebee, Overtoad, and of course, Gomei-chan. That's a fun collection of Dragon Quest monsters whose names I knew for sure. Every one of them. Didn't have to look that up at all. I thought it was interesting that Queen Flora gave over her insignia of Avon to Leona. I think it does make sense. Leona is basically the cleric class of the party. Who is best suited to learn Kaglimmer? The Cave of Trials she'll need to go through is one of my favorite parts of that show, of this show that is coming up. It's probably the most Dragon Quest inspired section of all the episodes. But before we get to that, we have a little bit of an interlude in the main story.
Let's talk about episode 61, Avon the Hero. With this episode, we take a little break from the main storyline. This episode flashes back to the time when Avon was a member of the Order of Carl. Hadlar has successfully brought much of the world to its knees, except for Carl Kingdom. The king is currently sick and bedridden, so young Princess Flora rules in his place. Hadlar seeks to change this and sneaks onto the castle grounds. He brings a bevy of magic cylinders containing an array of monsters at his command. Hadlar then crashes into the throne room while riding a giant green dragon. Something suddenly appears in the air around Hadlar's monsters, though, and they all go berserk. Avon also arrives in the throne room with a magic bullet gun that he fires at the green dragon. The same pinkish dust that affected Hadlar's other monsters comes out of the gun. Avon reveals that the dust is a coagulant made from poison moths. It confuses monsters, causing them to go berserk. Aha! Hadlar knocks his dragon out and attacks Avon. Avon counters with a variety of spells and attacks. Hadlar breaks out a kaboom spell, however, forcing Avon to take up a defensive posture to protect the princess. Before Hadlar can let loose, the captain of the Carl Order and Mom's future father, Roka, cuts off one of Hadlar's hands. Sweet. Hadlar blasts him away, though. This enrages Avon, who cuts loose with an Avon Strash that blows Hadlar out of the castle and into retreat. It's revealed that because Avon saved the life of Princess Flora when she was younger, she encouraged him to join the Order of Carl. Avon didn't want to show anybody up, though, so he kept his true skills secret. Avon realizes that he currently lacks the power to finish off Hadlar, so he sets off to become stronger. Roka decides to join him as well. Avon and Princess Flora then exchange gifts. Avon receives the Amulet of Carl, and he gives away his first piece of mysticite, later known as the insignia of Avon.
I really liked this side story. There's a lot to unpack here. First is the fight between Avon and Hadlar. The mix of spells and attacks going back and forth was excellent. Probably one of the best animated fights in the series, in my opinion. Next is that green dragon that Hadlar is riding. I absolutely loved the art for it. The pose where Hadlar is sitting atop of it, threatening the princess, is so good. Lots of good poses with that dragon before he takes it out. Now, references to Dragon Quest and earlier parts of the show abound here as well. It was great to see things like the magic gun prototype that Avon uses and his handiness in the kitchen with that stew. I loved how he actually added an agility seed to it. Nice Dragon Quest reference there. I wonder how much agility the soldiers gained from eating it. 1 point? 3 points? Who knows? Then there is the use of the magic cylinders. The cylinders are a wonderful concept, and I was glad to see them again. They showed up very early in the series on Dermline Island. The episode makes great use of Dragon Quest monsters as well, like the Golem, Great Saber Cat, and Cyclops, etc. It was cool to see the Dragon Quest item Coagulant get used here too. It first appeared in Dragon Quest 3, and in its first couple of game appearances, it could confuse enemies like it does in the show here, though it paralyzes foes in later games. In Dragon Quest 3 specifically, it even had a 50% chance of confusing metal enemies, something that they didn't have in future installments of the game that used it. So that was, I just loved this episode. It was a lot of fun. And it's a great little kind of side piece leading into the next episode, which is going to be, I'm looking forward to watching it again because it's such a Dragon Quest filled episode.
Ooh, well, that was some choice trivia. Thank you. It's hard to step away from the main plotline for a full episode like this, especially for a prequel story. But thankfully, the episode is really good, like you said. We never got to know Avon very well before he died, so it's definitely good to finally have a look at what he was like back when he wasn't teaching Dai and Pop. Avon was quirky even back then, but his idiosyncrasies, like wearing glasses and hiding his true powers, Superman style, and teaching girls to cook, just make him more lovable. What a great guy he was. Roka, Mom's dad, makes a good impression too. Roka is dead when the series begins, so he's been the hardest person from Yvonne's team for us to actually know. So finally we have some kind of impression of him.
Yeah.
I also like seeing Yvonne get the upper hand against Hadlar. Early in the series, Hadlar kills Yvonne, and we knew that Yvonne is the one who stopped Hadlar in the past, but this episode lets us witness the origin of their enmity.
Mm-hmm. And speaking of some future media we will be reviewing, I found some Emblem of Roto news today.
The Emblem of Roto is a popular Dragon Quest manga series that ran from 1991 to 1997.
The story covers events between Dragon Quest III and Dragon Quest I.
Among other media, there's a movie adaptation, a long-running sequel manga series, a CD drama, and much more.
Additionally, a pop-up store for new merchandise for the original series will be in Japan near Tokyo later this month.
Thanks to Battle France from the Dragon's Den for the find. We'll have the link to the store's website in the show notes.
I also happen to be browsing YouTube, and I noticed that you can find the full movie adaptation subtitled in English. I'll put that link in the show notes as well. But man, oh man, I got my holy grail of Dai merchandise today.
Really? What were you jonesing for after all the crazy things you've already gotten?
It was this Dai event exclusive. They had this pop-up museum for the manga, and they were selling these little Pop and Man pillows. You could only get these at the event, and I wanted them so bad. I love the artwork on them, and it's really nice kind of chibi style art for Mam and for Pop.
Neat. How'd you get your hands on them?
I had talked about this in the Dai channel for the Dragon's Den Discord server. Our resident Super Yvonne fan Esoterica turned me on to this import site called Tsurugu. Oh my god, I knew I was gonna have trouble with this. Tsurugaya, that specialize in used Japanese import merchandise.
Well, thank you very much, Erotica. So you found the pillows there?
I did. What I didn't realize is that the pillow has Pop on one side and Mam on the other. I thought they were separate deals. So, I didn't want to just have one or the other displayed, so I got two of them.
Aw, now your pillows can be pals. That sounds great, though. Be sure to let us know when you finally break down and get a Mom body pillow, too. And that's all for this episode of Slime Time Tactfully Dai. If you want to prepare for the next episode of our soon-to-be-renamed show, be sure to watch episodes 62, 63, and 64 of The Adventure of Dai, subtitled on Crunchyroll or dubbed on Hulu.
We're a non-profit podcast. We won't Yvonne stretch your hard-earned gold when we can offer you quality content for free. But if you do have some extra gold that's just completely burning a hole in your wallet, pouch, bottomless bag, treasure chest, or searchable wall sack, and you would like to donate anything to a website that's been supporting Dragon Quest fans for over 25 years, stop by the Dragon's Den by clicking the link in the show notes. There are several ways to support the Den, including the affiliate links that don't cost you anything when making other Dragon Quest purchases, such as Dragon Quest Monsters, The Dark Prince, that's out right now, and that's not going to be on Amazon. I was going to say soon to be Dragon Quest Builders, but that's going to finally be on Steam. But you can buy the physical edition on Amazon too.
That's true. You could get the old Switch version perhaps, or PlayStation even.
Yes.
Yes, and we even have a Slime Time t-shirt that was designed by a resident artist, Dwayne. See the link for it in the show notes.
As part of the Slime Time Extended Universe, or STU, you can direct comments or questions for the podcast on Twitter and Instagram at DQ Slime Time.
And you can follow me on Twitch at twitch.tv/EastXTwitch. Come watch me play a variety of games every Saturday, kids.
Join in tons of Dragon Quest discussion at the Dragon's Den forums or Discord and the Dragon Questers and Dragon Quest Tact global Facebook groups.
We'd like to thank everyone that made this podcast possible, including Pendy, Woodus, the Dragon's Den, and both of the wonderful listeners who supported this Tactfully Dai podcast. I mean, all of the wonderful listeners.
Please like, subscribe, or write a review for the podcast.
We'll catch you later, everybody. Don't hate. Appreciate.
Time to zoom on out of here.
There all along. This is slime time. General Flazzard here. Beware my five-finger flare.